Hello, everyone.
Hello, Brian. I see I have a caller at 845-594-3141. Can I get your name?
Hey, Paul, it's John Hepburn.
I'm sorry.
It's John Hepner.
Oh, okay.
John who?
And for those of you that haven't had a chance to meet our new council, Victor is with us tonight.
Hello.
Hello, Victor.
Well, I'm going to be back in just 2 seconds, okay?
Hey.
Let's see. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the March 1st meeting of Energy and Environment. And let's see. I haven't pulled up the agenda, but is everyone here? Let's see. Not yet. Okay.
Peter had to step away for a moment, and I don't see Al yet. We just got off of Health and Human Services.
And I don't see Mary Wuerl yet.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to, while we're waiting for them, I'm going to pull up the agenda. I was just reading, I'll call the March 1st, 2021, Energy and Environment meeting to order. And I would like to ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Manager Green.
Present.
Mary Will. Al Bruno. Al, we see you.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to make another cup of tea. I was.
You're Criswell.
Here.
Laura.
I'm here.
You have a full quorum, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. I would like to ask if one of our members would like to lead the Pledge of Allegiance. I like to rotate. Anyone volunteer to do that this evening?
I'll do it.
Thank you, Al.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, and have folks had a chance to approve the minutes of February 1st and February 24th to read them? And I would take a motion to approve. Peter, Al?
I'll make that motion to approve them as sent to us.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Legislator Bruno, seconded by Legislator Criswell. All in favor, please indicate by raising your hand. Aye. Anyone object? All right. Motion to approve the minutes of February 1st and 24th approved. And the resolutions for March 16th. The first resolution is resolution number 8, confirming the appointment of a member to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. And I'm sorry to those folks who are not members of this committee or legislators, but I think we need to briefly, hopefully briefly, go into executive session. And so, Fawn, I don't know, can you put people in the waiting room?
Yes, so I will put everyone but the attorney and myself and legislators in the waiting room, and we'll let you folks back in when we're done.
Do we need to make a motion to go into executive session?
I'll make that motion. We go into executive session.
Awesome. And Laura, seconded by Legislator Petit, made by Legislator Bruno.
I think Tracy Bartels actually had a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I think you should formally invite the other legislators and the attorney into the executive session. I just want to make that note.
Yes, that's what I believe that's how Fawn said. So it'll be for any legislator and Ulster County legislator and Victor Cueva. Welcome, Victor, our county attorney. And yes, Legislator Bruno?
Oh, no. I was waving to him. Welcome.
Okay. Very good.
His picture is right to my right.
Okay. So I would like to go into executive session because this is essentially a personnel-related matter.
Just one moment. Let me... Hang on.
Did we have to vote on that? Because I heard the motion and I heard the second, but I didn't hear
it. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well,
I don't think it actually needs a vote. I think it just needs a second. That's my parliamentary understanding.
Yeah, I don't know. Pull out your Robert's rules, Abe.
I have it.
I think we typically vote on it, though.
Abe, why am I not surprised?
We voted on it.
Yeah, I think we typically vote on it because there have been objections in years past. And
okay.
All right. So to be, just to be complete, there was a motion and a second to go into executive session. All in favor, please signify. Anyone opposed? The motion carries.
Wait, one.
Here you go, Peter.
Abe.
21st century. There's some new hippie rules. Old school.
The 21st century would be hipster rules, Abe.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep.
Jonathan, I have you on the phone here twice, but that's, I think that's you both times. All right. I have Manna Joe twice too.
You can only vote once, right?
Yeah.
All right, I believe you're in executive session. And let me just stop the recording, hang on.
I'll make a motion for us to come out of executive session.
I'll second it.
All in favor, please indicate. Aye. Anyone opposed? All right, we will go back into regular session.
And let me get the other folks in the waiting room in, hang on. Okay, now we're back in regular session. We've come out of executive session. So.
I'd like to make a motion to.
Let me call for a motion.
Sure.
Okay. On resolution number 8, confirming appointment of member to the UCRRA. Is there a motion for a discussion?
So moved.
Do I hear a second? Okay. Moved by Legislator Criswell, seconded by Legislator Warrow. Is there any discussion on this motion, on this resolution?
I'd like to propose an amendment to Resolution 8 as read by our clerk, Fawn Tantillo.
It's a motion to amend Resolution 8, replace the name of Fred Wadanola of Lake Katrine with the name of Thomas Kakandis of New Paltz, wherever it appears, and to change the word reappoints to appoints in the title, in the second whereas, and in the resolved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Legislator Waro. Any further discussion on the question? Then I would like to call the question. And this is to make an amendment, and then we'll go back and go to the actual resolution. So this is on the amendment as read by Fawn and as proposed. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carries 5-0. And now on the resolution as amended. So this is resolution number 8, confirming, in this case, the appointment of a member to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency as amended. Do I hear, I need a motion?
So moved.
I need a second. Legislator Bruno. Moved by Legislator Criswell. All in favor of, Mary, did you want to speak or you're anticipating? Okay, good. All in favor of the of resolution number 8 as amended?
Aye.
Okay, very good. Thank you. The resolution passes 5-0. And I think that's it. And we will move on to resolution number 84, authorizing the chair of the legislature to enter into an agreement with the Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District for the 2021 appropriation. And is a representative here from, yes, from Ulster County Soil and Water.
Yeah, Adam Doan is here.
Okay, Adam, welcome. Does anyone, first move for discussion?
Okay. Wherever I am.
Moved by Legislator Petit, seconded by Legislator Waro. Any questions for Adam?
Yeah, what are the shrubs available?
Maybe foregoing the sale this year. It's to be determined still, so check the website. Unfortunately, it was difficult last year with COVID and trying to keep everybody, the public and the staff, safe, so.
Okay, any further discussion on resolution number 84? All right, I would like to call the question. Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand or saying aye. Anyone opposed? The motion carries for resolution number 84. And at this time, I would like to welcome Amanda Laval, who I hope I say your title correctly. You're the director of the Department of Environment. And Amanda sent around a memo and she wanted a few minutes to summarize that. It has to do with the composting law that the Department of Environment and other departments are responsible for implementing. And there was very clear unanimity amongst the committee that developed that law and apparently somehow in the many pages of that law and the details that we tried to work out, there was one part of that law that is harder to implement and really didn't reflect the intention of the committee that worked on what is informally called the composting law, but it has a more specific title than that. So with that, Amanda, please summarize
the
request for the committee to consider.
Well, thank you. And we have, among other things, last year, we were working on gearing up for the implementation of the Food Waste Prevention and Recovery Act. And as you might remember, there was one amendment to the local law to delay the implementation from July to January for the first cohort of regulated generators. And through that time, we've had, we have not had staffing to support the law. We initially had hired a part-time person dedicated to the work of research and also kind of coordinating the group of departments that is working on the law. And that person resigned their position in July due to kind of COVID-related family constraints because of the hiring freeze that was not filled. And also because of budgetary constraints for 2021, that position was not included in the budget. So there is currently no one devoted full or part-time to the initiative. And everybody else we're trying to carry it forward the best that we can without having staff dedicated to the law. So with that said, the first cohort of generators was went on the books as far as being regulated. These are the larger generators producing greater than 2 tons per week in January. Scheduled for July is the next cohort, which is 1 ton a week and greater generators. What has become apparent is that there are some issues with the text of the law that I think upon, you know, very careful reading of the law don't reflect the legislative intent behind it. Those are particularly around waivers for pre-consumer and post-consumer food scraps. And also we've had some kind of back and forth internally around there's a desire to have additional guidance when it comes to what constitutes a financial hardship. That language was left open, kind of vague. And there's a desire to have the what constitutes a financial hardship to be prescribed, similar to the polystyrene law. The health department feels very strongly that it needs not to be interpretation and it needs to have legislative guidance that they can point to. So we also are discovering some difficulties as far as the dispute of status. That was another kind of category in the law, which was where a generator could provide some documentation that would show that they don't actually produce as much waste as that regulated cohort that we've assigned them to. We're having trouble locating anyone regionally that would be able to perform that type of waste audit for a small, like a restaurant or a smaller operation in order to get that information. And we don't think it's advisable to have basically like a self audit. We think that that's another potential problem area, that if you had folks do some kind of self-certification or self audit, that would, it wouldn't be standard methods and that you could really call into question the results. One of the most troublesome things concerning that we've run into recently is that the state is still in the process of rolling out the state law. And the intent here, I'm sure some people know this and other people maybe can use the refresher, is that there's a state law that's going into effect January of 2022, so next January, that will regulate the larger generators. So the greater than 2 tons per week waste will be regulated under the state law. The intent was that the county law would then move to only regulating the larger generators who may not be included in the state law as a regulated type of business, and then the smaller generators. So it's intended moving forward when the state law comes into effect that the county law will still be there kind of wrapping around it. When we started on the outreach and notified businesses this fall, we used what at that time was the current state methodology for identifying these larger generators. About a month and a half after we sent out the letter to those generator lists, which I think it's page 3 of the memo that was just circulated, the state revised their methodology and came out with what was almost an entirely new list. So we are currently regulating 2 ton per week and greater generators based on a methodology that the state's no longer using and that they're not going to carry forward when their law actually goes into effect next January. Same thing with the 2 tons per week generators, and that's page 4 of the memo. That is the discrepancy between the existing list, which we have to date used to kind of do our planning, and the new list coming from the state. So there is some overlap on that, but not a tremendous amount. They've really changed their methodology for this. So with those points all kind of taken together, and also that we're still discussing how best to think about implementation and enforcement, really what's the logical role for the county to play, how do we best leverage things that we actually do versus what other agencies might do. As we think about that, we would still like to come up with a plan that really makes sense and works. So with those things all taken in consideration, so we wanted to discuss with you and possibly look at whether or not it's best, and we think this, to the next cohort of generators, this 1 ton per week and greater, to push that out until January of 2022. Because we have a lot of work to do, frankly, with rectifying the lists, figuring out our methodology, do all of that work going forward. Also considering that we don't have staff to really take this on.
Let's see. I think a lot of this makes sense, but what I would recommend is the people that spent more than a year working on developing the county law maybe reconvene and go through this step by step with you. I don't think we can do that in committee. And then make a recommendation to the committee, and if you know we can come to consensus, and I feel certain we would be able to, then ask our attorneys to make the modifications. But basically, the state is dealing with generators of 2 tons or more per week, and they exempted schools and medical facilities. In Ulster County, we believe that schools were really important because they would be setting an example. There was an educational, hands-on educational component, and that those students going through those school systems would realize this is a part of life. This is how we manage this material. And there were many examples nationally and internationally of healthcare facilities that were successfully diverting waste. In our county, SUNY New Paltz is one of the stars, Mohawk Mountain House, Frost Valley, et cetera. And then as far as the smaller generators, it does get tricky. And the one other major difference in our law from the state law is the state law, I believe it's 25, there has to be a composting facility within 25 miles for this to apply. In other words, you don't want people to have to send their food waste hundreds of miles. So the state, and they also felt that would be technology forcing, that if there was a law requiring composting and there was a distance and there was a gap, that that would become an economic opportunity for a composting facility to find an appropriate location and go into business. In Ulster County, our law, because that 25 miles applies to most of the county except for the very rural area on the western Route 28 corridor, and we talked to the businesses out there, several of whom are already composting on site, and others who felt that they would all contract with the same hauler, so there was one route. We included everyone in the county that generated more than ultimately half a ton a week. So those are the major differences that currently exist, but there's nothing like actual practice to point out deficiencies. So that would be my recommendation, is that we meet with the committee that worked so hard on this law, and it included haulers and large and medium-sized food waste generators. And we really tried to be very inclusive. We held several informational meetings and tried to create a law that made sense. And I'd like to better understand the difference with how the state has modified. They passed a law, but I'm assuming the modifications were in the regulations that they generate. So if the committee is okay with that, we can try and reconvene and bring back together the people, and also to be sure that the UCRA is represented in that conversation. They hosted most of the meetings out of which this law was developed. So that would be my recommendation. And we'll start that process as soon as possible. And I do hear that the one thing that is urgent is changing the July deadline to January of next year for the one ton. Is that correct, Amanda?
Yes, that would be the most pressing, because that's the next regulated cohort. And I think we have to decide a lot of things that we need that larger group on, as far as how we integrate the changing state lists and update things like that, because now we're kind of stuck where we're regulating ones that aren't even going to be regulated by the state come following January. So we're at a step now. So I think the most pressing thing would be to move that next cohort to January 1st, and then, you know, convene that group to work through these issues.
Chairwoman Green. This is Laura. I agree with you. I think we should reconvene the committee. I mean, we did put a lot of effort into this law to make sure it was very inclusive. The state law precludes a lot of the large generators. And I think that really defeats our vision for the county of being as near zero waste as we possibly can be. And, you know, I'm hoping, as with, you know, the state of Vermont, I don't know if it's occurred in other states, but and there is a mandated organics ban. A lot of times, food items that are still good for, you know, human consumption are then donated. You know, it's, I think it's very important that we stand by this. I mean, I do understand waiting for the 1 ton requirement, you know, and putting it off until January, since we did move up the original 2 ton a week requirement. And also, if I could ask Director LaValle, I would like to see a copy of the grant application that was submitted, you know, to help expand the Resource Recovery Agency facility. I don't know if you can provide that to the committee in an electronic form.
The contract is available in the county in the New World system. So that's something that's easily retrievable, and anybody who has access to that can, but we can supply it certainly to Vaughn.
Somebody at the clerk's have access to that?
Well, yeah. Staff does, but I'm sure Fawn is nodding her head.
Yeah. I don't know which way she's nodding.
I believe that Amanda and Natalie can see it.
Yeah. So okay. once the contract, you know, we put in a grant application, but we were awarded the grant, and then that becomes a contract, you know, you approve it through the legislature, and then that goes into the county's system digitally. So that's really accessible. Anybody can look at that without it being a thing. And just to, that was a grant through the Climate Smart Communities Program, where most of the grant money was passed through via a subcontract to UCRA for improvements to the compost operation, mainly towards equipment. So just to let folks know. And that was the grant that also allowed us to buy the dehydrator for the jail. So mm-hmm. It has allowed us to do the diversion at the jail.
Okay, thank you very much. That was a really good, clear overview, and we will bear in mind about the 1 ton or more cohort and try to have a meeting to go over step by step some of the other things. I'll read it over more carefully as well. And I don't know how many of the people that worked on this initially, but we have records of those meetings. So we definitely will address this. We're not ignoring it, and we'll do it as expeditiously as possible.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for your patience tonight. And anything else on this topic? Because it is getting late, and I wanted to just mention two other items of new business. We won't go into them in depth tonight, but they're on the horizon. So one of them is, it says Canada Hydro Hudson River Project, but I think formal title of it is the Champlain Hudson Power Express. And that's been on the evolving over the last at least 5 years, maybe longer. And thank you, Fawn. And get all kinds of other things popping up. Here you go. There are 7 communities in the lower Hudson that take their drinking water from the Hudson River. And what they're concerned about is that laying of the cable will resuspend PCB and other chemical pollution that is in the sediment at the bottom of the river, and they are taking their drinking water. because of my day job, I've done a lot of research on PCBs, and generally they're fairly easily filtered out of water. That's why these communities can take their drinking water using sand or activated charcoal filters. But there are other chemicals in the sediment that are very long lasting and that are not so easily filtered out. And there are all kinds of what are called emerging contaminants. So dredging that would need to occur could in fact affect these municipalities. Town of Esopus, Port Ewan is one example, but there are several other communities, Poughkeepsie and Town of Poughkeepsie, and at one point I could rattle them off, but there are seven municipalities that are very concerned, and I think what I'd like to do is, and I'm not sure if the legislature will have a role or not, but it is an important issue in this region. So that was one. And any questions or on
I actually do have a comment. I mean, I've attended several of their meetings. We've been getting presentations by the Canadian firm, and we discussed it at the Esopus Environmental Board. I mean, as far as actions go, I would like, you know, to see the legislature come together with a statement or a letter. It's also my understanding that a lot of the process has already moved forward, but just as it was with the pipeline, and using fracking material, even towns that it wouldn't directly impact were coming out with you know, a statement that they were opposed to it. So I think the more voices, the better. You know, and speaking for Esopus, it's within yards of our intake for our water treatment plant. The turbidity alone could clog up our filters, and then we don't even really know how long the PCBs would be suspended and if that would be coming in through our intake as well. You know, and it's quite a process. They're using jet plows that are just going to stir up an 8-foot trench. It's pretty intensive. So we are not, and I have to drink that water, so I'm really not in favor of it. But could we make a motion or address it again next month with an example of the letter?
Yeah, I would rather do that. I think there are groups that can provide the committee with background information to read and you know, get up to speed. I do want to say that in the Upper Hudson, when they dredge the PCB containing sediment, the communities that were taking their drinking water from the Hudson found alternative sources during the dredging, because Half Moon, for example, and General Electric had to pay for the fact that they couldn't use the drinking water out of the Upper Hudson. Even with what I said before about it being easily filtered, there was so much disruption that it would overwhelm the ability to do that. Go ahead.
Manager Joe, with all due respect, the dredging they did up in Half Moon with GE cleaning up the PCBs is like apples and oranges compared to what they want to do here. I mean, we're talking, they were intentionally trying to stir up and remove the PCBs from the river, from the water supply. Here, they're trying to bury a cable. So it's a little different. And to try to put them both in the same sentence is really disingenuous. I don't buy that, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not saying that it's a great thing to do. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that example is really not realistic of what they're trying to do here by dropping that cable into the water. I think they're totally two different things. I'm just trying to put things in perspective.
I agree that, you know, in one case they were trying to remove the silt, and in this case they're digging a trench, but what you're going to get the same results. And, you know, in Saugerties, you've said that the Esopus turbidity is impacting the community up there, and it's very.
That's you a know, little I mean, dumping thousands of tons, millions of gallons of mud. I mean, that's a completely different issue. I mean,
but
that's
what, you know, using these jet plows and stirring up, you know, eight-foot trenches.
I want to get all the information.
Because they've got two hospitals there. And that they're going to have to do is take the water treatment plants offline, shut them down so they're not drawing in water
and
for
maybe
48 hours.
And I agree. And I'm not saying that there's not going to be, that we have to do certain mitigation things while they're doing it, but it's a temporary situation, not a permanent situation. And I understand it's a bad thing when they come through. It's just like when they come down your street to blacktop your road and you can't go in and out of your house for a day or two or whatever the reason is. What I'm trying to say is that that's a little different than a permanent, long-reaching, long-lasting effect of an environmental catastrophe, of a temporary situation. And I'm not trying to discount you, Laura, but I'm saying let's be realistic. I mean, even if you have to do a temporary situation for a couple of days, the long-term effects versus the short-term problem is different. And I don't want to get caught up in a lot of rhetoric. And I'd like to see the information on both sides of what actually is going to happen.
That's exactly what I was going to recommend, is that we ask that question ahead of time. So when people come, we're not comparing apples and oranges, but we're actually get the information for what the degree of resuspension and how it affected the water intakes for drinking water communities in one instance and in the other, so we have, you know, real numbers and you know, can make a wise decision, or if we're going to write a letter, or you know, whatever action we're going to take, it's based on current and correct information, and that may be available. I know it's available for the Upper Hudson PCBs from the reports that were required by EPA, and I expect that the Champlain Hudson Power Express, or CHIPPY, as it's sometimes called, had to do an environmental impact statement. So there might be information there. So we'll try to, you know, be as realistic. And the reason I brought it up was simply to say that, you know, even though it can, the material can be filtered out, those filtering systems can be overwhelmed, and let's find out whether or not it will be.
And I agree. We need to have real information, not feelings. That's all I'm getting at.
And that brought up the other topic that I'd like to get a report on, and that is it's two things. One is the turbidity that associated with the Ashokan Reservoir releases and the effect on the Lower Esopus, and the fact that, you know, that's been going on for a while. There have been a lot of meetings, a lot of discussion, and I had hoped that between the DEP and the county and the community members, that there was a way of coming up with a solution, but the DEP has released I believe it is an environmental impact statement on a plan, and the community members that are particularly in the Lower Esopus region are very discouraged by it. And so that is something that I think we should know about. Again, I don't know what action we will take, but it's an important, very important environmental issue. And then more recently, there was a proposal for creating a reservoir to allow for pump storage. So when there's a lot of energy on the grid, some of that energy would be used to pump water uphill. And when you have, when you rely on solar, particularly, or renewables, particularly solar, but also wind, it's intermittent. And so storage is needed. But then there's a question of, would the DEP allow a pump storage facility? And when you flood new land to create another reservoir, it does cause the release of methane from decaying vegetation. So there are a lot of questions. Apparently this company never consulted with the DEP, and the town of Olive is very actively working on this issue. But it's just another important issue. It's not an agenda item in the sense that it's a resolution at this point, but I think a brief presentation, not so much on the pump storage facility, but the longstanding turbidity that is causing very serious ecological and harm to businesses along the Lower East Opus. A lot of the tourism and boating and recreational use has been impacted, and for the fish, they can't breathe. So I think it's worth looking into, and it's really getting late, and we're not looking into them tonight, but Dave Haldeman, was that one of the issues? Are these some of the issues that the Environmental Management Council is dealing with?
Yes, indeed. In fact, we had a speaker from Riverkeeper at our last meeting. Laura Pettit was listening in at that time. And we're working on our own resolution. And I know Amanda is, with suggestions from all of us, is working on something for your committee as well.
Okay.
And that has been extended. The comment period on that has been extended to 90 days. So that gives us some time there. I wanted to mention that at our next meeting, I am trying to get a speaker on the Champlain-Hudson power line. So we meet at the last Wednesday of the month at 6:30 online. And so if any of you would like to join us at that time, at least look at the agenda to see whether we have that speaker, and that may help you with some of the information that you need.
Fawn, can you see that we get that information so we can check that out?
I'll try to get that.
If you can.
If you send it to me, Dave, I'll certainly send it to the committee.
Thank you.
And let's see. Tim DeGraff has been very patient. Usually we ask for the RRA report early in the meeting, and Tim has stayed through the meeting, and I just wonder if you would like to do a quick update. Is there anything that you would like to share with the committee before we adjourn?
Sure, and I'll be really brief. I know, I think it was Laura had sent a question out to Brenna with regards to board documents from the past. And I don't know if she reached back, if she returned or replied or sent a link or anything, but we've always had those documents archived on within our events page. So if anyone can't find them, just reach out to us again tomorrow and we can lead you in that direction. I did want to mention too that I had a meeting with staff today, planning out HHW events for the year. We are on track to do an event in April. It's going to have reduced capacity. Instead of 7 to 3 and say 500 residents, we're going to do 8 to 12, which will probably get us about 240 or 250 residents. But We're also planning on adding an event. So we're looking at an event in April, an event in June, an event in August, and an event in October. Hopefully there's some type of, you know, normalcy in the world by the time October rolls around. And then the other thing, our next, my hope is the next three board meetings we have to have some presentations. I do have a company called Green Waste Energy that's just going to give us some information on their company, their pyrolysis technology company. And then I'm going to try and line up another pyrolysis technology company for April. And then there's a potential for a company named Hughes Energy that turns feedstock into pellets that you would use for your wood stove. So I'm hoping to line them up for May just to get the ball rolling so that the board's aware of what's out there, what we're researching. You know, it's just more steps forward that we haven't done in the past. So but those presentations I plan on having during our board meeting. So if you can't even make the meeting, everything's recorded. So
great. That's it. Excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Comments? Hearing none, I would seek a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Made by Legislator Bruno, seconded by Legislator Criswell. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye. And aye, thank aye. You. And we'll be in touch.
Have a great Thanks. Night, everybody.
Thanks. Good night.
Night. Okay. Thanks, Vaughn.
Good night, Nana. And we'll talk about setting up that green concrete thing soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying right. to keep things in perspective and prioritize. Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good night.